good to see everybody here today. I think I've relapsed into my cold, and so having to struggle with that. But anyway, we'll manage. I've got some cough drops and some warm water here, so we'll get through our lesson today. And anyway, it's a very simple lesson. It's one that we all can profit from, and we all need to pay attention to it, because let's face it, we're all guilty. We all have given in to temptation. And of course, as we just sang, we yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. And we read a lot in what the Bible says on what our responsibility is and what we're supposed to be doing, but yet we always know that Satan is there trying to prevent us from doing what we're supposed to do. And so he brings us temptations, and we have to struggle with those. Living the life of a Christian is not a bed of ease or a life of idleness. We know it is a responsibility that we have to serve God. And as we discussed in our class this morning, all that we do needs to be demonstrated by action, not just by thoughts or by our saying something, but we need to back up everything we do with action. And so, yes, our life is not easy. It requires a lot of toil and labor. A lot of people don't like this. They don't like putting forth the effort. And so we must put forth the effort if we're going to be pleasing to God. And it is always going to be a constant fight with temptation. We know that's the case because we all face it every day. In some way, some form, some fashion, there is always a possibility that we're confronted with some sort of temptation where we have to sit there and decide, if I do this, I'm going to be wrong and God's not going to be happy with me, or I don't care, I'm going to do it anyway. And so we are always fighting temptation, because temptation always comes to cause you to do something you want to do in the first place. Think about that. Your mind has already decided in the first place, I want to do this. And Satan comes along and says, okay, you know, like Eve, when she was looking there, they had this huge garden. This garden was probably about the size of Ohio. If you can just imagine that, it was huge. And they could go through that garden anywhere, eating of any fruit of the tree, except one tree. And where was she hanging around? Obviously, she was standing there just looking at it. And then the serpent, crafty serpent, came along and says, what has God told you about this? Well, she said, if we eat, we will die. And so, what did he say? You will not surely die. That's it. That's all she needed to hear. And she partook of the fruit and gave to her husband, who was also in the same proximity. The Christian's greatest danger is succumbing to temptation, and it comes our way all the time. All right, what is temptation? It is the enticing or inducement to yield to the lust of the flesh, as we read about in James chapter 1 and verse 14. After one becomes a Christian, he has the same desires and temptations facing him or her that he had or she had before. I mean, nothing changes when you become a Christian as far as how you deal with this world's temptations. You just know as a Christian, you shouldn't be doing those things. And so, I mean, but the desires are still there, and these temptations. This person does not receive a second blessing, as some may claim, to remove the temptation from them. No, on the contrary, when we become a Christian, Satan throws more temptations at us than we can imagine. He's trying to get us to do anything to turn our back on God and not serve God. And so, it is a trial or testing of one's faith and loyalty to God. When you think about it, that's what temptation is. Am I going to serve God, or am I going to do what I want? And that's the temptation we have to deal with. And you consider Job and all of his trials. And Job had a bunch. I mean, he was going along. He was faithful to God. Then all of a sudden, his family was taken away. All of his possessions were taken away. And he was basically made a pauper in one day. And his wife said, just curse God and die. And he would not do that. With all the temptation to curse God, he would not do that. Now, the source of temptation to do evil, well, you think, well, okay, let's blame it all on Satan. No. And of course, we can't blame God. God does not tempt anyone with evil. We know that from James 1, verse 13. God doesn't tempt us. Now, God tries to prove his children, but does not induce them to do evil. As we see in Genesis, and when we look at Exodus, he gave manna to the children of Israel as a test to see if they would be faithful. All of his laws that he has given to his people are given as a test to see if they will be faithful. We still have laws today that God puts upon us that determines whether we are going to be faithful or not. Now, God does permit us to be tempted, but not beyond our capability to overcome. In other words, he tells that in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But then we also have to look at the fact here that we don't really need to make it easy to fall into temptation. I mean, where we abide, where we stay, where we hang around, the people we hang around, that all has a bearing on what we're going to be doing. See, temptation does come from Satan in some ways, as we read in our scripture reading this morning. Three times Satan came up and tempted Jesus, and Jesus, of course, he responded with scripture, but the temptation comes from Satan, and it does not come from God. Worldly things are Satan's avenues of sin. 1 John 2:15, he talks about the things in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. These are all things of the world, and they're going to perish, as this world is going to perish. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden were offered what they wanted, and they knew they weren't supposed to do it, but that all they needed to hear was, you will not die. I mean, and the phrase that, yeah, you'll be like God. You'll see things like God sees things. Well, that's what they wanted. And so it was offered to them, and they took them. And, of course, all of these were tempted in three ways, whether it was Jesus or Adam and Eve or any of these others. The lust of the flesh, as Eve looked upon the fruit and saw that it was good to eat. How do you know if it's good to eat? I mean, you walk up to a plant you've never seen before, and they got little berries on it. Is that good to eat? Well, I don't know. I mean, let's put it this way. If the birds aren't going to sit there and eat it, it's probably not good for me to eat it. I mean, that's just something, a little common sense popping in there. But she looked up on this fruit, and she made it up in her mind. Doesn't matter what kind of fruit it was. We don't know what kind it was. But one thing for sure, she saw that it was good to eat. She made up her mind beforehand that it was good. It was a delight to behold. And I don't know, maybe it was polished or something. I don't know. And none of us know. But the idea that it would make one wise. Wise as God. Oh, now that was enticing. That really turned her on. See, Christ was tempted in the same way. You know, the lust of the flesh turned the stones to bread. Lust of the eyes, the kingdoms of the world will be yours, your possessions, the pride of life. Cast yourself down. I mean, all of these, that's all there. And one, but one can be tempted from within. James 1, excuse me, James 1, 13 and 14 tells us that we, when we are enticed by our own lust, we give in to sin. And so we give in to sin, and that sin brings forth death. But it comes from our own devices. It comes from the fact that we decide for ourselves what we're going to do regardless of what anybody else says. And so that's how we are tempted. Now, temptations are sure to come. Every day, they're going to be there for us. By no circumstances, environment, or conditions are we exempt. We're never going to be exempt from temptation. We recognize that. But does that mean we have to give in to them? No, it does not. And it's not by character or spiritual power that this is going to happen. The Holy Spirit's not going to make us sin, we know that. The Holy Spirit teaches us what we need to know to keep from sin. And the Holy Spirit writes there in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, that we're not supposed to sin for any reason. Now, Jesus was tempted right after receiving the Spirit. We read that in Matthew 3:16 and then 4:1. And it wasn't because he was a son that he was tempted. He went out to be tempted of Satan. And that there was a specific reason for this. The Holy Spirit had to demonstrate that yes. Remember what it says over in Hebrews chapter 4, talking about Jesus, our high priest, who was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. Jesus faced the same temptations each of us face, but Jesus did not sin. That's why Jesus had to work hard to do the will of the Father. And maybe getting out by yourself, you think that, well, if I'm out there by myself, then I won't sin. Well, here's the problem. When you get by yourself, you forget that anybody is there. You forget that God is there. And what's going to happen? You might get a little naughty. Don't know, but you might. I mean, it's possible. And we know that Jesus was alone on many occasions. He was alone. And he got off to himself. He sometimes would leave his disciples behind and go off a distance and pray. And he would do that several times. Now, there are benefits to temptations. We know that. To be tempted is not to sin, but only when one yields to the temptation to sin. As we've already mentioned, yield not to temptation, for the yielding of sin. And I mean, if we're faced with a temptation and we survive it and don't sin, then that's good for us. It really is. See, the man who yields is cursed, but the man who overcomes is blessed. We read that in James 1, 2 through 15. We're blessed in all that we do. And so, yes, we need to work on that to make sure we don't give in to temptation when it comes our way. One who yields is made weaker, and one who overcomes is made stronger. Remember what James said. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you endure manifold temptations, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And endurance would have its perfect reward. And so, it is a benefit when we're faced with a temptation and we have the fortitude to say, no, I am not going to do it, because it would be a sin against God. I mean, think about Joseph. Remember him? He was sold into slavery, taken all the way down hundreds of miles from home. He's all by himself. Nobody see anything. Nobody see what he's doing. A temptation comes his way, and what does he do? I will not do this and sin against my God. And then she grabbed him, and he fled, leaving his garments behind. He wasn't going to be any part of that sin. He was a very strong individual. Would we? See, it will increase our desire to go to heaven, where we will be free from all temptations. We know that. That's where we need to go. We need to be in heaven, where Christ is. And we'll be free from all temptation. And he shall be crowned with glory. The one who overcomes is crowned with glory. And that's what Paul said there in 2 Timothy 4. Henceforth laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and all those who love his appearing. And James 1:12 tells us that. Now, overcoming temptations. That's what we need to concentrate on. God's people can overcome any temptation. Because we already know God's not going to throw a temptation some way where we can't control ourselves. You know, a lot of times when people give in to sin, they use the excuse, I just couldn't help myself. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever used that yourself? Yeah, I just couldn't help myself. I did it anyway. No, always we have the ability to make that choice. So if we sin, it's because we made the choice to sin. Not because the temptation was too great. It's just we allowed ourselves to give in to that temptation. And so the way of escape, you remember that's what he said, with every temptation, God offers you the way of escape. Sometimes it's as simple as saying, no, I will not do that. That is one way of escape. It may be you have to leave the room or leave your company of friends or whoever's trying to get you to sin to decide, I'm not going to sin before God. And so it may mean you have to give up your boyfriend or your girlfriend because they want to have some fornication. No, God says no. You need to be able to say no as well. Well, if you love me, you'll do it. That's one thing they always use, right? No. We know what this world has turned into. Fornication is rampant. And it is wrong in the sight of God. And it's not anything a Christian should be doing. The way of escape is through preparation. In Psalm 119, verse 11, he says, Thy word I have implanted in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The preparation is putting God's word into our heart. Knowing what God decides is wrong and purposing in our hearts not to do those things that are wrong. It also includes purposing in our heart to do those things that are right that God has given us in His Word. See, Jesus overcame because He filled His heart with the Word. Remember, every time He responded to Satan, it is written, it is written, it is written. And he said, so he was filled with the word. He knew what the word said. And he knew this temptation would violate that word. And he wasn't about to do that. Sometimes I also by way of prayer and watchfulness. Jesus said, watch and pray. You don't know the hour when he's coming. And we have to be prepared all the time. And that includes prayer. Sometimes a prayer to God, keep me out of these situations, or God, let me have enough intuition to know that something is not right, and I don't want to be involved in sin. Sometimes by way of strong purpose. You know, when Daniel was carried off to the Babylonians, it says, and Daniel purposed in his heart he would not eat the king's delicacies, because they were not good for him. And so he made an arrangement to be fed vegetables and drink water. And he was a lot better shape than the others, he and his three friends. So yes, it is a strong purpose. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, I buffet my body daily, or I keep my body under subjection daily. That is something, if we're going to be a faithful Christian, we have to do. We have to watch ourselves and keep ourselves from sin. Man with his heart set is hard to move. We've heard this. You ever meet someone who's just stubborn? Yeah, we all know somebody who is just as stubborn as can be. Doesn't matter what you say, doesn't matter how you act around them, they're going to be stubborn. Well, that's a person with their heart that is set. And nothing you can say will change that. But anyway, when temptation comes, it may be by way of flight. In other words, God gives us the way of escape. We just have to take it, right? We have to take that way if we want to avoid an escape. If we don't take that way, then we're likely going to give in to temptation. So we may have to flee, as he told Timothy, flee fornication. Flee from every appearance of evil. And might be by way of fight. We may have to fight. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 talks about putting on the whole armor of God so that you can withstand the fiery darts of the devil. Yes, we may have to recognize we've got to make a fight of this. And it really is a fight all the time, because all of your co-workers, all of your friends, all the people you hang around with, they don't understand the concept of not giving in to temptation. I mean, that's what they do. I mean, that probably fit in one of those Geico commercials, wouldn't it? It's what they do. They give in to temptation. And they don't see anything wrong with that. But you know better. So you may have to fight them on this. When they say, well, there's nothing wrong with it, everybody's doing it. No. Sometimes by avoiding bad company. Psalm 1, 1 and 2 talks about walking in the way of the sinner, standing in the seat of the scornful, and sitting in the council of the scornful, or the scoffers. Yes, we got to avoid that. Blessed is the man who doesn't do those things, Psalm 1, 1 and 2. And good, bad company corrupts good morals. We know that. If the person you want to hang around with is not a Christian, then what's on their mind? Ask yourself that. They want to go get drunk Friday night. They want to go have some fornication sometime. They want to get away with something. But if you hang around Christians, Christians know better. And you're likely going to be a lot safer by hanging around Christians. We can help. Excuse me. We can help by attending all the assemblies of the church. Because let's face it, the people who really care about you, think about that. The people who really care about you are sitting in this room. Because if they're not in this room, they don't really care about you. Think of all your associates. And what happens when you invite them to come join us in this room? It's not for them. And they'll be just as happy to tell you so. Oh, that's not for me. I don't do church or anything like that. But I want you to participate with me when we go out drinking Friday night. Or I want you to participate with me in fornication or whatever it might be. We need to be coming to church to be encouraged. And this is what is needed to strengthen us. We can fight off some of the temptation if we avail ourselves of continued encouragement and study. That's what we can do. And hanging around Christians is the best way to do that. Neglecting worship services can lead to weak members giving in to temptation. It is said 7 days between worship periods make one weak. And that's true, it really does. You need to avail yourself of every opportunity that is offered to study God's Word, to learn about God's Word, to learn how you can deal with this world according to God's Word. You keep missing out on services, you're depriving yourself of those things. It is spiritually dangerous. We need to keep busy for the Lord. Idleness is the devil's workshop. How do we keep busy for the Lord? We learn of His ways. We study His scriptures, and we practice His scriptures. With regard to overcoming temptation, finding the way of escape provided by the Lord. We know He gives us a way of escape. Are we looking for that door? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. Temptation comes our way. What do I do? Believe me, if you just decide to sit there, you're eventually going to give in to that temptation. But if you get out of that environment, you have a much better chance. It is all a matter of want to. And that's what it's all about. Whether you choose to be a faithful Christian, you have to want to do it. If you're basically going to give in to temptation, it's because you want to. That's all it is, a matter of want to. We must look for the escape that the Lord has provided. So the question is, are you a victim of temptation? We know the answer to that. Yes, you are. You're a victim of temptation. We all have given in to it at one time or another. And have you succumbed or yielded to such? Well, yes. The Lord has made provision for those who fall. If we're Christians and we fall, give in to temptation, He's given us that provision. We can get up, repent, confess, and pray. That's what we need to do. If you haven't become a Christian, you need to obey the gospel. Believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess His name. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you enter into a relationship with God, which is a good relationship. See, Paul tells us that as children of God, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Philippians 4:13. And that's what we need to understand. With the assistance of God and Christ, we can do those things that He wants us to do. We can be faithful and we can avoid sin. We don't have to give in to the temptations that are there. So consider those thoughts. We're going to offer an invitation in just a moment. If anyone has a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.